Thank our brother for leading that singing together. Can we bow, please, in a wee word of prayer as we commence our service this evening? Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee this evening for the blessed and happy occasion that finds us in the house of the Lord. We pray that Thou wilt hallow this time with Thy presence, that Thou wilt bless all that is said and done. And, O God, we particularly pray for the Lurgan congregation and for the Reverend Murray in the days that are to come, that the blessing of the Lord will be upon the witness of the gospel in this house, and glory and honour will be brought to Thy name through the proclamation of the gospel. We ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. On behalf of the session of Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church, we want to bid you a very warm welcome on this happy and historic occasion for the congregation here, with the installation of the Reverend Thomas Murray as the new minister of the congregation. We would particularly like to welcome the officers and members of Presbytery. We would also like to welcome the Reverend Crane and his wife. The Reverend Crane, of course, is the former minister and minister emeritus within the congregation. Also like to welcome the Reverend Murray, his wife and family, and trust that the Lord will bless them as they come to take up the work here in Lurgan. I'd also like to say a very warm word of welcome to members of the Elliott family. The Reverend Elliott was the interim moderator here up until his home call on the 19th of January, and we do welcome his family here to this service this evening. I'd also like to welcome members of the Cumber congregation, the Reverend Murray's former charge in church, and to everyone else, wherever you've come from this evening, we bid you a very warm and hearty welcome. We're going to commence the service by turning to the Psalm 124 on the order of service. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our rights sustained, when cruel men who us desired to slay rose up in wrath to make of us their prey. And just before we sing this Psalm, can I also mention, by way of apologies, two ministers have contacted me. The Reverend Thomas Martin, former member of the church in Lurgan, he is currently involved with the gospel mission in Ballymena. He sends his apologies that he can't be here tonight. And also the Reverend Derek Irwin sends his apologies that he can't be here either. He had hoped to be here, but due to unforeseen circumstances, is not able to make it. After the introduction and the organ, we stand together, please, to sing.
Yeah.
Amen. You may take your seats, and as you do so, we're going to ask Dr. Ron Johnson, minister of our Newton Arts congregation, if he will come and now lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let us all join together in prayer. Let us seek God's presence. Gracious Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we praise Thee tonight for this wonderful psalm that we've been singing that tells us of Thy salvation, of Thy keeping power. And, O Lord, we thank Thee for each one bowed in Thy presence who could say that our souls were captive by Satan. We're on the road to hell, but we thank Thee for Thy mighty deliverance. We thank Thee for Thy keeping power, Thy security upon us that has brought us even to this stage of our life. Lord, we thank Thee for how Thou hast preserved Thy church down through history. We praise Thee, Lord, that one day the Savior will present this church a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. And we praise Thee tonight for the wonderful privilege of being numbered among the people of God. Lord, we do confess our sins before Thee. We realize that salvation is not of man, that we deserve wrath for our sins. But, oh, we thank Thee there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. But, Lord, forgive us for those sins we have committed, not only against Thy law, but against Thy saving love. Oh, Lord, we pray that every one of us may be in that place of fellowship with Thee tonight, that the Spirit of God may work in our lives. We thank Thee for this occasion that finds us here. And, O Lord, we do pray for a word from Thee. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace and truth came by Christ. And we pray tonight that the Spirit of grace would take the word of Thy grace and minister grace to each one of us. Lord, we thank Thee we can come to the throne of grace freely. And, Lord, we make a request known tonight, Lord, that Thou would so work in our hearts that every child of God would be drawn closer to the Savior. O Lord, that we'd become more zealous to lift up His glorious name. And, O Lord, for any that know not Thee as Savior, that Thou would have mercy upon them. We thank Thee for the Free Presbyterian Church. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be pleased to use it as an instrument in Thy hand, that Thou would be pleased to use it to lift up Thy beloved Son, our Savior, even in the midst of these days of apathy and apostasy. O Lord, cause us to be true to Christ. Remember the congregation here especially. Remember Thy servant. And O Lord, we thank Thee for the grace of God in his life and in his wife and in the life of his family. We thank You, Lord, that Mr. and Mrs. Murray had godly upbringings. And we thank Thee for the families in which they were reared. And we thank Thee that they're families that love Thee. And we thank Thee, Lord, for how Thou hast used Thy servants in days past. We thank You for their friendship and for the fellowship and the gospel that many of us have enjoyed with the Reverend Murray and Mrs. Murray. And Lord, bless them tonight. Lord, we leave ourselves before Thee. Lord, without Thee, we can do nothing. Lord, impress that upon us. And so we ask Thee tonight that Thou would endue all who participate with the blessed Holy Spirit. And Lord, that Christ would be glorified, that Thy people would be built up, and that even sinners would see Christ as the only Savior from sin. Be with us, we pray. In our Savior's name we'd ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Johnson. We're going to sing the second hymn on the order of service. You're singing well tonight, and we trust that you'll keep that up as we sing this lovely hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And again, we'll change our positions when we have the introduction on the organ and piano, and let us stand together to worship the Lord in song.
Call for songs of
part of the service, we come to the time when the prescribed questions will be put to the minister-elect, and I'm going to call upon the Reverend John Greer. He's the clerk of Presbytery, and he will come and oversee this part of the service now.
Thank you, Mr. Abernethy. It's my joy to be here this evening. I invite Mr. Murray to come forward, please, join me with me here in the pulpit. I just say it's my privilege to have the opportunity now to put the questions to Mr. Murray. Many, many years ago, I was a senior minister, believe that or not. We were both exceedingly young in those days. And then he served with me for 2 years as deputy moderator when I was moderator. And we thank the Lord for Mr. Murray. And the Lord bless you here as you take up your charge in Lurgan. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament not merely to contain, but to be the verbally inspired word of the living God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and believe the articles of faith and the Westminster Standards as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
Are you firmly resolved through divine grace to adhere to the doctrine contained in the said confessions and teach and defend it to the utmost of your power against all error?
I am.
Will you subscribe the said confessions as a confession of your own faith?
I will.
Will you maintain at all costs to personal reputation and vain worldly popularity the three fundamentals of the faith as set out by Dr. Henry Cook? A. The Trinity. B. The virgin birth and vicarious atonement of Christ. C. The necessity of the work of the Spirit to originate faith and repentance in the heart of man.
I will.
Will you maintain with all the strength God shall give you the truly scriptural separation position of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster and vigorously withstand the apostasy of Irish Presbyterianism, exhorting God's people to obey the teaching and commandment of 1 Timothy 6, 3-5?
I will.
Do you believe the Presbyterian government and discipline of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and do you promise to adhere to it and support it and to yield submission and be in subjection to your brethren as is taught in the Word of God?
I do.
Have you the experience of the new birth, and do you believe that it is only by the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you can make full proof of your ministry?
I have, and I do.
Will you publicly denounce the great public vices of drinking, dancing, gambling, and the pleasure crazes of this present evil world, and by example live righteously, soberly, and godly before all men?
I will.
Will you maintain the purity of the communion feast, and by all scriptural and lawful means resist any attempt to weaken the testimony of the Church in her stand for a born-again communicant membership?
I will.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the Gospel against modernistic apostasy and in working for the purity and peace of the Church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account?
I do.
Do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all private and personal duties which become you as a Christian and minister of the Gospel, as well as in all relative duties and the public duties of your office, endeavouring to adorn the profession of the Gospel by your conversation and walking with exemplary piety before the flock over which God shall make you overseer? And are you now willing to take charge of this congregation, promising to discharge the duties of the pastor to them as God shall give you strength?
I do, and I am.
And I invite the moderator to come, please, and oversee the signing of the subscription and the installation.
Reverend Thomas Murray, having answered the prescribed questions, will now sign the following. I believe the Westminster Confession and the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and as such I subscribe them as the confession of my faith. While we do not have a laying of hands, because this is an installation service, not an ordination service, our brother will be installed by presbytery, so we're going to ask the members of our presbytery who are here, members of the Ulster Presbytery, to come forward and take part in the installation. And we'll ask the congregation to stand. We'll ask the brethren to come up both sides, but when you're giving our brother the right hand of fellowship, we'll come round this way. So those that come up this way, you can go round and join the back of the queue. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and sole head of the Church, and by that authority that is given to the Church for its edification, we do install you, Reverend Thomas Murray, as the minister of this congregation. And for this purpose, may the blessing of God rest upon you, and the Spirit of God fill your heart. Amen. Let's just unite together in a moment's prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come to worship thee afresh this evening. We give thee thanks for thy sovereign mercy and thy blessings upon us in so many ways. Our God, we thank thee for thy so great salvation. We're glad, our God, of that day when thou didst come and thou didst save the Reverend Thomas Murray. We thank thee, our God, for thy power and sovereignty in his life. We thank thee for calling him into the ministry. We rejoice, our God, in the work that has been done, for souls have been saved and the people of God who have been edified down through the years. We thank thee, our God, for the abilities and the wisdom that thou hast given him. And we pray, our God, that thou wouldst be with him here as he enters into a new phase of his ministry. We pray that thou wouldst bless him, bless Lorna, bless the family. We pray, our God, that thou wouldst be with them and bless as he takes charge here. We pray, our God, that his heart might be knit to the congregation, and that the congregation's heart might be knit with his. Our God, we pray for that spirit of unity. We pray for that blessing that runs down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, of thy people. And we know it's good that God's people dwell together. And we pray, our God, that thou wouldst be pleased to add to the church such as should be saved. We pray, our God, that thou wouldst continue to bless in this corner of thy vineyard. We thank thee for thy servant, the Reverend Crane, who labored here for so many years. And we pray, our God, that even as our brother enters into his labors, that thou wouldst bless him and be with him, our God. We pray that thou wouldst make him a mighty instrument in thy hand as he works in this town. And our God, we pray that this town of Lurgan and the surrounding districts may ring with the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the people know that there's a man of God in the place. Our God, we pray that thou wouldst breathe with thy Spirit and open the windows of heaven upon us. And, O God, pour us out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive. And, our God, what we pray for Lurgan, we pray for the rest of our province. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst have mercy upon our land and that thou wouldst come down in mighty power amongst us. Draw near to us, we pray. Bless in the rest of our meeting, and we pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen.
Well, at this stage of the service, we're going to hear from the newly installed minister, and we'll invite the Reverend Murray to come to the pulpit.
Could I first of all welcome you all to this special installation service this evening? I know that many have travelled long distance to be with us, and it means a great deal to my wife and to I. It's nice this evening to have a number of family members with us, and it's a special joy to have my mother here in the congregation tonight. You know, an elderly woman one day walked into a country church, and the usher greeting her, he asked her where she would like to sit. And she said, "I want to sit right at the front, in front of the pulpit." And the usher looked at her and he said, "I'm not so sure that that's a good idea, because the minister here, he's very, really, really boring." And the woman, with an indignant look, she looked at him and says, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, "No, I don't know who you are." And she said, "I'm the minister's mother." And immediately the minister, or the usher, turned to her and said, "Well, do you know who I am?" And she shook her head, "No." And he said, "That's good," and very quickly disappeared into the crowd. Well, I'm warning my brethren here tonight, be careful what you say about me, because my mother is sitting in the very front seat, and appreciate her coming here tonight. My father would have loved to have been here, but his health and distance does not permit that. And I want to thank my father and mother for all that they've done for us, for bringing us up in the gospel, and for their prayers, and for all of their advice over the years. Also want to welcome my own family, my own children, and their in-law, or their wife and husband as well, if you can work that all out. And it's especially joy for me to welcome my two grandsons along to the installation here this evening as well. It's a special joy also to have the former minister, the Reverend David Crane, with us here tonight, and we thank God for all of his labours in this part of the vineyard. I also would like to thank those who travelled this evening from Cumber. It means a great deal to Lorna and I to have you here in the congregation this evening. We have many precious and blessed memories of our time there. Most of all, I want to thank Almighty God for his grace and for his mercy in my life. Robert Robison, the great preacher and hymn writer, wrote, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." And I owe this evening a great debt to Almighty God for all that he has done for me. It was on the 22nd of September 1974 in Limavady Free Presbyterian Church that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. The preacher that evening was the Reverend John Long, and he was preaching on the words of John chapter 10 and the verse 9. There the Lord said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." That night, after a great battle in my heart, I by faith entered through that door. I not only received the forgiveness of sins and that freedom mentioned in the words "in and out," but I found food for my soul. And I'm glad that I can say tonight that the Lord is not only my Saviour, but he is also my shepherd. He goes before me, not only to guide me, but he also levels the mountains and fills the valleys. And the reason that I'm here this evening is very simple. It is because the Lord, by his Spirit, through his word, has guided me here. And in my daily readings, the Lord impressed verse after verse upon my heart that I should rise up and leave Cumber and come to take up the work here in Lurgan. One such verse, the Lord speaking to Abraham, he said in Acts chapter 7, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee." And I thank God tonight for his grace in my life and for leading me by the Spirit and through his precious word. I do intend this Sunday evening to give a fuller word of testimony. And if you're from this area, we encourage you to come back and to join with us this Sunday evening. I would like to especially thank the congregation in Lurgan for placing their confidence in me in calling me to be their minister. I'm certainly looking forward to taking up the work here and getting to know the members of the congregation. I was born in County Londonderry. I spent 16 years ministering in County Tyrone before coming to County Armagh and then going to County Down. And now I have come back again to County Armagh. Early in his ministry, Campbell Morgan, sitting in his study one evening, he felt the Lord saying to him, "What are you going to be, a preacher or my messenger?" And taking many messages, of which he was extremely proud, and burning them, he prayed, "If thou wilt give me thy words to speak, I will utter them from this day forward, adding nothing to them, taking naught away. Thine whole counsels I will declare, so help me God." That is my prayer this evening. I have no other desire but to declare the whole counsel of God, adding nothing to the word of God or taking anything from the word of God. And to that end, I would ask you to pray for me. Paul, writing unto the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the verse 25, "Brethren, pray for us." Not only did he covet the prayers of the people of God, but he also prayed for them. And certainly I would ask you this evening that you would pray for us as we take up the work here. I trust that we will see many added to the kingdom of God and to the work here. And most of all, that we will see the name of Christ lifted high and exalted. I want also tonight to thank the session and the committee for all the work they have done behind the scenes in preparing for this meeting, and also for my wife and I coming to this area. A lot of work has been done at the manse in getting ready for us moving in a few weeks' time. And I want to say a sincere word of thanks to all who have helped in any way, and a special word of thanks to Mr. Derek Owen for all his help in regard to the manse. I dare not forget my wife tonight. I want to thank her for all her support and her encouragement through the years. The Lord calling me to come, it meant her giving up her home and moving away from one of her grandsons, but she was willing to do that with a heart and a half. She's been a helpmate, and I owe a great deal to her this evening. Can I also tonight say a word of thanks to the Reverend Abernathy? He has made my moving as minister from Cumber to minister in Lurgan very smooth, and I do appreciate tonight his diligence and his help. I want tonight also, just before I sit down, just briefly pay tribute to the Reverend Elliot, who was interim moderator of this congregation when the call was issued. He has been to me a very good and a very close friend over many years. I have always appreciated his fellowship and his wisdom. And I was to meet up with him just the day before that the Lord called him to glory to be with himself. And I thank God tonight for our brother and for his fellowship. And when the call came, I expected that he would be here tonight in this pulpit. And I know that the congregation here have appreciated his labours. And I'd also like to assure his wife and the family of our prayers in the days that lie ahead. We are looking forward to the Lord's Day. And if you are from this area, could I give you an invitation to come and to join with us in the morning and also in the evening. Finally, could I say to you, pray for us, that God will bless us and bless this congregation, and that we'll see the Lord's name lifted high and glorified. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend Murray. Could I just say, as the outgoing interim moderator, that we would wish and pray the Reverend Murray every blessing as he takes up the work of the ministry here in Lurgan. I became intermoderator of this congregation just 8 weeks ago or so in what were very sad circumstances we would rather not in a human capacity have had to come and step into. We do continue to assure the Elliott family of our prayerful support. But for the 8 weeks that we've been here, we've got to know the people just a little bit. And I can say to the Reverend Murray that we wish him every blessing as he works here in Lurgan and as he serves the Lord. And you pray. I mentioned it on Sunday, actually. I preached on Sunday morning past on praying for the minister, and I made the point that the minister relies upon the Lord for utterance. Paul prayed that utterance would be given unto him. It wasn't just what Paul wanted to say to the congregation or what he thought up himself, but it was what God gave him. And we will certainly be praying that the Reverend Murray will be the Lord's messenger, with the Lord's messenger among you, and we wish you every blessing in the days that lie ahead. We're going to sing the next hymn on the order of service. Now, can I say it is an offering hymn? If you haven't come prepared tonight, do not worry. Just pass the plate on by. But we are going to take up an offering, so we'll keep our seats as the offering is received and sing this lovely hymn, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping. Thy presence, my light." seated. I'm going to ask Dr. Ian Brown, Minister of Martyrs Memorial, Free Presbyterian Church, to come and read the Holy Scriptures to us. And immediately after he does that, the moderator will come and bring the charge to the newly installed minister and the congregation. If you have your Bible with you, could you please turn with me in it to the book of Genesis and the chapter 24. The book of Genesis, the 24th chapter, and we'll commence to read at verse 1, read down to the verse 9. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go on to my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing unto the reading of his word.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Brown for reading the scriptures to us this evening. And can I say it's a delight to be able to take part in the meeting tonight. I served last year as the deputy moderator along with the Reverend Murray when he was the moderator last year. And I got to know him a little bit more than I had before. And he is a man of wisdom, a man who God has gifted, and I know that he will have the Lord's blessing as he comes to this corner of God's vineyard, and we wish him God's richest blessing in the days that lie ahead. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord to come and meet with us as we come to his word tonight. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of meeting with thee afresh tonight. We thank thee for what has gone before. We thank thee for the reading of thy precious word. We bless thee, our God, for the singing of the hymns, and as we have sought to bring ourselves into thy presence. And our Father, we pray tonight that thy word might have free course and be glorified. We pray that thou would speak through that word to every one of our hearts. Our God, we thank thee for the precious word of God. We thank thee that it is truth tonight. We bless thee that we can stand upon the truths of God and we can rely upon what it has to say. We thank thee for its instruction to us for our day-to-day lives. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst bless this word to the new minister here and to the congregation. We pray, our God, that thou wouldst bless them in the days that lie ahead, and that thou wouldst be with them as they seek to labour for thee in this corner of the vineyard. And for each one of us that are saved tonight,
We pray that thou wouldst make us good servants of Jesus Christ. Draw near to our hearts, we pray, and bless us as we meet around thy word, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. The story of Genesis chapter 24 is the story of Abram searching for a bride for his son Isaac. Abram did not want his son to take a bride from among the heathen, but he wanted to have a bride from among his own people. Now, it might have been politically advantageous to him to have taken a bride from among the heathen. He could have made political alliances. He could have made himself accepted more among the people, the Canaanite people that were there. But Abram knew that God had told him that in a time to come he would give him the land, and that the Canaanite people, these heathen people, would be driven out, and that he was not to take a bride from among the people. But the story of Genesis chapter 24 really is about the bloodline, the messianic bloodline. Abram knew that his son needed to marry, he needed a wife, and that later on he needed a son. Because of Abram and Isaac would come the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the center of Genesis chapter 24 really is about Abram, about Isaac, about Rebekah. And the servant that is mentioned here in this portion of Scripture really is periphery to the story. He is not central at all. What we focus upon is the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. But while the servant in the story is not central, I want you to see that while he is unnamed here, he is not named, I want you to see that there is a lot that is said about this servant. And I want us to focus our attention tonight upon the servant that is the servant here, the one who serves his master. And I want you to see that Abram bid this servant to go off into a far off land and to do his bidding. And I want you to see that he is a good servant. I think that really is seen really in the words later on the chapter in verse 56, where now he has come, he has found the bride, and he wants to bring the bride to his master's son. And when he finds that there is some opposition to that, or some reluctance about that, he says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." Here is a man who wants to do the master's business swiftly. And we want to do the same tonight. We have seen the installation of the Reverend Murray as the new minister here in this congregation. And he is the Lord's servant. He is the Lord's servant in this corner of the vineyard now. But I want you to see that it's not just those who are ministers who are missionaries who are the servants of the Lord, but each one of us who are saved tonight, we have a service to do. We have something to do for the Master. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24, and he said, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye," that's all of the Colossians, "serve the Lord Christ." We think of what it says in Psalm 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord. There's the command. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And think of what the Lord himself said in John chapter 12 and verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So we're thinking about the Reverend Murray, yes, tonight. We're thinking about those that serve what is often spoken of in a full-time capacity. But we're thinking also of the congregation and everyone here tonight that is saved by the grace of the Lord. We all need to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why this portion of Scripture is something that we should study. It's something that we should take note of, because here is a good servant of his master. And I think that as we look here, we can get some indication what a good servant should be. So let's just look at the portion of Scripture, and there are some things about this good servant that I want you to see. And the first thing that I want you to see tonight is the commissioning of God's servant. I want you to see that this model servant here, this proper servant of his master, a proper servant of God, is one that is commissioned by his master. He does not go unsent. He does not run in front of his master or do what his master has not told him to do. He is commissioned. Nobody should ever claim to be a servant of God unless they have been sent of God. And we look at verses 2 and down to verse 4, and we see that Abram sends his servant. Look at what it says. It says, "And Abram said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And I want you to see the first thing that you'll notice here is that the servant belonged to Abram's house. Now, this is a point that I've been making in different ways, in different of the ordinations that I've been involved in, but I make no apology for making it again. It says, "And Abram said unto the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had." He had been brought into the household of Abram. He belonged to the household of Abram. Now, that's a fundamental thing. And it's a simple thing. I'm going to make a simple point tonight. But I want you to see that it is one that we need to see in these days, that in order to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you need to belong to him. You need to be his. You need to be a member of his family. You need to be of his household. I am saying tonight that you need to be saved. You need to be saved by the grace and power of God. You know what the Lord does with those that he saves? He brings them into his family, into his household. We're born again of the Spirit of God. He adopts us by his grace. And what a difference it is when a sinner comes and puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're part of the family of God. Hallelujah tonight. Thank God for that. And it goes without saying tonight that those that are not of the household of God cannot be his servants. And you see that in many places in this day and generation. You cannot be a minister, you cannot be a missionary, you cannot be of service in any way to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be a Sunday school teacher, you may be a leader in the BB or the GB. It may be that you are doing something in the church, but you cannot be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you're saved by grace, unless you're a member of his family, unless you're brought into his household. And you heard tonight how our brother was asked, did he have the experience of the new birth? Dear friend, that's fundamental. You need ministers in this day who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But not only does the proper servant belong to Abram, but he is bidden by Abram. He works for his master. Now I'm going to make another simple point, a very fundamental point. What does a servant do? He works. He labors. He is busy about the master's business. He serves his master. And that's something else that needs to be fundamental about those that serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The king's business requireth haste. We need to put in effort. We need to be up and doing. The night cometh, the Bible says, when no man can work. and it's not my ministry or the church's ministry, but it is the Lord's ministry. We're serving a master tonight. We are seeking to glorify him, not uplift the church or the denomination or myself or anything else, but I'm seeking to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed King of the church. And you think about the word that Paul uses in the New Testament for servant, where he speaks about being a servant of God. It's a word that really means a slave. We're bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd rather be a bond slave of Jesus Christ than to be a lackey of the devil. Dear friend, tonight I hope that you're not a lackey of the devil, but you're saved by his grace. But you know, dear friend, we need to be working. We need to be up and doing today, not taking a back seat. As often been said, there are usually a core of people in the congregation that do most of the work, or not, if not all of the work. And I say to the people of Lurgan tonight, put your hand to the work. Get involved. Yeah, start praying. Start working. Start inviting people in under the sound of the word of God. Let's see us put in the work and the labor and the effort. We see the commissioning of God's servant. But then I want you to see the carefulness of God's servant. I want you to see how careful he is in the course that he followed. I want you to see that he goes clearly at the master's appointment. And I want you to see that he's so careful to do exactly what the master wants him to do. And I want you to see that he goes where the master wants him to go. Look in verse 4. Abram tells his servant exactly where it is that he wants him to go. He says, "But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." There's no doubt now where the master wants him to go. And the servant goes there, and he goes nowhere else. He goes where the master wants him to go. He goes where he is bidden to go. And what is more, he doesn't detour in any way. He goes straight there. You know, if you were to go to work tomorrow and your boss told you to do something, you never bothered your head, and if you continually did that, you're not going to last too long. Well, it is the same in the work of God. We have to do what the Lord tells us to do. We have to go where the Lord tells us to go. And I know that the people in Cumber were very sorry to see Mr. Murray go, but the Lord had given him a command. The Lord had shown him the way. And you know, many people go by feelings and go by this and that, but thank God we have the word of God that directs us and guides us in the way that we should go. And we should follow in what the word of God has to say. He goes exactly where the master wants him to go. And then he did what the master wanted him to do. He didn't decide for himself one day that he was going to go off and get a bride for Isaac. He didn't just head off on his own initiative. Or he didn't say, "Well, here's a village with a group of strong, healthy girls over here. They would be good for my master's son." He didn't say that. He waited. In fact, he didn't do anything until his master told him to go. And he waited until the master bid him. He wanted the instruction of the master. And it's the same in the service of God today. Now, it wasn't that the servant in the meantime was sitting about doing nothing. It wasn't that he was just... You see, there are many things that the servant had to do on a daily basis. And he did those things. There was the ordinary service, the day-by-day service, and he did those things. And there are things that we know that the Lord wants us to do on a daily basis. We know that he wants us to pray. We know that he wants us to witness. We know that he wants us to read his word. We know that he wants us to serve him in so many ways. There are the day-by-day duties. But maybe sometimes the Lord has something special. Maybe there's something the Lord wants you to do, to take a Sunday school class, to be involved in the children's work, to go as a missionary, to go as a minister into the Bible college. Maybe there is something that the Lord wants you to do, but you go at the instruction of God. And I want you to see the way that the servant here follows the instruction. Look at verse 5. It says, "And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest?" And he wants to know exactly what he will do if the bride will not come with him. He goes, here's the exact instructions, and he wants the detailed instructions, and he wants to follow exactly what God wants him to do. You know, God has given instructions in his word. And what God wants us each one to do is follow them. Now, perhaps tonight when I speak about instructions or speak about what God wants us to do or what God doesn't want us to do, maybe there are those who would say, well, I'm a kind of a legalist. This is something that is brought up today. If you put any rule or regulation or say that there's something that God wants you to do or doesn't want you to do, you're a legalist. You know, when the Lord Jesus said that we're not to indulge in the flesh and mortify the deeds of the body, some people today in pulpits would call him a legalist. When he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and that we should go by his word, many today would call him a legalist. But it's not legalism, it's sanctification. And there are things that God doesn't want us to do. And there are three places where God doesn't want us to go. God wants us to keep the Sabbath. God wants us to avoid the places of sin. And I make no apology for saying that tonight. The church in many places has abandoned practical sanctification and holiness of walk. We need to get back to that today. We need to follow that today. And when God says that we are not to defile ourselves with the flesh, where we are to be separate, those are things that God wants us to do. We follow what the Master wants us to do. Not only do we go where the Master wants us to go and do what the Master wants us to do, but we persist as the Master wants us to persist. You see, this servant here had the responsibility of going the long miles to find the bride for his master. And humanly speaking, if he had failed in the task, then there was no bride for Isaac, and the line of the Messiah, humanly speaking, would have faded out. Of course, God was overruling all these things, but we're speaking humanly. But the servant had to persist. He had to go. He didn't really know in the end where he was going. It was kind of a miraculous thing that he arrived at the well at the time that Rebekah was coming out to draw water. Of course, it wasn't miraculous. It was the superintendence and providence of God. But God was directing his path. But this servant had to go the long miles across the desert, across the land, braving what difficulties there might have been. And he had to be persistent, and he had to keep on, because there was a bride to be won. Now, the Lord has us in the business of winning a bride for Christ. The bride is his church. The bride are his people. And you know, we are his instruments today. And he's made us into his instruments. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Isn't that remarkable? It's part of the wisdom of God to use men and use you and me. That's a remarkable statement, the wisdom of God. that uses men and women to reach men and women. But dear friend, unless you're at that business, then, humanly speaking, we say, there are folks that are not going to be reached. You think of what the prophet Ezekiel said about the watchman. He said that we who are his are appointed watchmen to warn people about their sin and their wickedness. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood shall I require at thine hand. Dear friend, that's a solemn thing. This servant had to be persistent. He had to keep on working. He had to keep on going because he was a watchman. And he had to do the master's business. Are you conscious, child of God, that you are a watchman set in your workplace, set in your neighborhood, set amongst your friends, your neighbors? You're a watchman. What are you doing to win them? What are you doing to bring them in under the sound of God's precious word? Are you praying for them? And I want you to see that this servant is wise to win the bride. You'll see if you read the story that he went in and he came to Rebekah's family and he presented his master's son, and he spoke about the riches that he had and about the land that he had, and he painted the wonderful picture of his master and his master's son, and he was wise to win. You know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, but behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what we need to be in this day. We need to be wise as serpents. We need to use every wise means to win men and women to Christ. And harmless as doves, not harming anybody by doing what we did. Of course we're not. But we need to look to the Lord for his wisdom and for his help in bringing the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the commissioning of the servant, and we see something of the carefulness of the servant. But then I want you to see the complications for God's servant, because I want you to see now that there are difficulties and hindrances in his way. The first hindrance, of course, was finding the bride. He had to find the bride. And God, in a remarkable way, brought him into contact with this girl, Rebekah. And she was the one that God had chosen. And God opened the way. And if you are willing to go out, and if you're willing to get into this work, God will open the way for you. God will give you the opportunities. If you're willing to use the opportunities, God will give you the opportunities. But then I want you to see that when he had found Rebekah, there were all sorts of hindrances put in the way. I want you to see the factors that he contended with here. One of the factors was the reluctance of the family. They didn't want to let Rebekah go. Now, they were verbally agreeing to let her go, but Laban, her brother, he had a love for her, a natural love, a family love. And in the end, he really didn't want to let her go. You know, we sometimes face the love of family. We don't want to go because we don't want to leave family. But you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There are times, you know, when even legitimate things have to be set aside for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the love of family. something else that would have hindered the servant, and that's the love of comfort. Here he was, he'd been brought into Laban's house, and he was put up well and had all the comforts of home and all the hospitality of the East, and he felt now that he was going to have to go out and face the harshness of the journey. And of course, it wasn't easy in those days. There was the roughness of the road. There would have been bandits and all sorts of hindrances along the way. And he might have said to himself, "Oh, well, I can wait a little bit longer. I don't need to be in a rush." And you know, the love of comfort can stop us. You know, I don't want to be out on the outreach tonight. It's windy and it's wet. It's too much of a bother for me to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how often it is that the love of comfort and the love of ease stops us from being good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when you are out around the doors, and maybe it's a wintry night, and you would love to be at the fireside. You know, sometimes the old flesh will rebel against you. But you know, I always think about the Apostle Paul. And you know, Paul braved imprisonments and beatings and shipwrecks, and he was left dead for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, we have it easy. We have it easy. And yet we still take our ease. We still take our ease. Are we good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's the love of comfort. And then there was something else. Well-meaning advice. You see, Laban said, "Oh, wait a while. Oh, just put it off, just a little bit longer." And I don't think that he was doing that out of any sense of ill will or in seeking to hinder what was going to take place. He had agreed that Rebekah should go, but he just was making this well-meaning advice. And you know, sometimes you get well-meaning advice from even God's people. Oh, let somebody else do it. Let the minister do it. Oh, you don't need to be. Oh, you're involved enough. You're involved enough with this and that and the other thing. And you don't need to be involved. Well-meaning advice. But sometimes, dear friend, the well-meaning advice is not good advice. We need God's advice. We need God's direction. We see the factors he had to contend with, but also the fears he contended with. Because I want you to think the phrase that he uses in the verse. He says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." What did he mean by that? Well, I think that perhaps there's a little bit of the fact that he was saying, "Don't hinder me," because he's afraid that maybe if he's hindered, that Laban will change his mind. The opportunity was now. And he's a little bit fearful that if he doesn't take the opportunity now, that the door will close. You know, God has given us opportunities now. My son-in-law works in schools as a ministry amongst the children. He comes from England. And over in England, it's very rare that you can get into a school to speak about the things of God. In this land, we still have opportunities. And my son-in-law was saying, we need to take the opportunities now, because the door can shut very swiftly. And we have a wide open field. The fields are white unto harvest. I know it's getting harder. I know that people seem to have no interest in the things of God. The night is coming when no man can work, it seems. But also, it's always darkest before the dawn. But even though it seems as if the night is coming, doesn't it make us want to work all the more, all the harder? Shouldn't we use our opportunities now? Shouldn't we seek to spread the word of God now, when the door of service is open? The fears he contended with. But one more thing that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture is the completion for God's servant. He says to Laban, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And he knows that God has prospered his way so far. And he knows that God is going to prosper his way in the future as he walks in obedience to his master and to God. And God does prosper his way. And I want you to see that he obtains the bride. Look at verse 51. Laban says, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." And as we've been saying, the task today is winning a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to bring souls into the church of God for the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. And you noticed that the servant was successful. Look at verses 64 to 67. It says, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Men, women, what a blessing to be able to bring men, women to our Isaac, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And when Rebekah saw, what did she see? She's not looking at the servant. She's looking at her bridegroom. And the servant fades into the background. As one said of old, John the Baptist, "He must increase, but I must decrease." But what a blessing to bring a bride to the bridegroom. He obtained the bride. But then I want you to see he obtains the blessing, because there's a blessing to his own heart. Look at verse 52. And you notice what happened when he found Rebekah and knew that the Lord was leading and guiding his way. It says, "And it came to pass, when Abram's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." So here's the attitude of praise and the attitude of thanksgiving. And then notice verse 66, when we read that the servant was able now to go and recount what he had done to Isaac. It says, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done." You know, men, women, there'll be a day when we'll stand before our Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give an account. And we'll have to tell him all that we have done. We'll have to tell him all we've done. Will you be like the good servant here? When you tell him all that you've done, you're able to tell him about those that you've brought in. Oh, may the Lord, in his mercy, Give us precious, never dying souls. For men and women outside of Christ today, you're perishing. You need a Savior. You need Christ. We're not here in this place, and our brother's not here in this place just as a matter of doing a job or as a career move. He's here to bring you the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here to bring a bride to the bridegroom. And I pray that when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be able to tell him with confidence about all things that I've done. You know, dear friend, when I think of that, it comes to mind the many times you failed, or many times I failed. I know the many times I failed. But oh, dear friends, tonight, you know the many times you failed. But oh, that God would make us now good servants of Jesus Christ. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake.
Could I thank our moderator for the challenge and for the comfort from the Word of God this evening? What a privilege it is ours to serve the Lord, and what a Savior we serve today. May God help us to be the best servants that we possibly can be. We're going to turn to our order of service, and we're singing the words of the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below, and will remain standing for prayer. Together in prayer, could I say that the supper has been provided for everyone tonight, and could I ask those that are in the gallery, just for ease of serving the supper, if afterwards they could make their way out and round the side, and they will be served at the back of the church. Also, just immediately after the benediction, I'm going to call upon the clerk of session here, our brother Mr. Matt Wiley, to come and to address the congregation. Let us just bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy presence with us this evening. We thank thee that we can say that the Lord our God is good, and that his mercy is sure. We thank thee that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from our Father above. We thank the Lord for the gift of thy presence in this service this evening. We thank thee for the gift of thy precious word to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for its challenge. We rejoice that having saved us, that thou hast called us to be servants. And we rejoice that not only hast thou called us, but we thank you, Lord, that thou dost supply the need. And we pray that thou wouldst help us to serve thee well. Help us, Lord, to go out into this world and to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, and to bring them unto thyself. We thank thee for this congregation, and we pray, Lord, for thy blessing upon it in the days that lie ahead. We ask, Lord, that as we labor together, that we might see many in this town brought to a saving faith in thyself. And so, Lord, hear this our prayer. Bless us this evening. We recognize there is nothing greater than the blessing of the triune God. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless us. We thank thee for the good things that have been provided. We thank you for those who have given time in preparing it. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless it to our bodies, bless our fellowship together. And we ask that you would take us then to our homes in safety. And, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us even in this place in the Lord's day. Amen. Open up the windows of heaven. Amen. Send down the showers of blessing. Amen. For we ask these things in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.